Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
And welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, hosted by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching the best practices for handling money. And we use the Bible as our textbook. Do you realize in the Bible there are 2,500 verses that speak directly to how God wants us handling money? And we use these biblical principles in our small group Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can preview this Bible study simply by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I'm joined by the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. About, 2 weeks ago, we did a show on buying or leasing your next car. So from that show, we had a number of emails from individuals asking, well, how do I know it's time to replace my car or to purchase another one? So we thought this would be a great topic for today that we could help you save some money along the way. So today, we're going to discuss, do I keep my old car or replace it?
Well, a new car would be nice, but that's probably not the smartest decision. So you have to figure out, would you be better off fixing your current car, or is it just really time to throw the towel in and get a different car? You notice I didn't say new car.
I love that. You said a different car.
A different car. It will be new to you maybe, but maybe not new to the world. Another question you should be asking yourself is, do I really need another car? What would happen if we only had one car? Could we use public transportation?
How about a bike or carpooling? Walking, maybe?
Oh.
You know, it's pretty much the norm for most American families to have two cars. But unfortunately, it's awfully expensive for a lot of families to have two cars, especially if you're making payments on both cars.
Oh, absolutely.
That analysis of whether you really, really need two cars, and it might be inconvenient, but if you're in the hole financially, maybe this is the time, if that one clunker is getting ready to die, that you figure out whether you want to replace it or just kind of suck it up for a couple of months until you get things straightened out.
Yeah, and that depends on where you live, to be perfectly honest. You know, if you're living in a city, as an example, it's probably easier to get public transportation. Maybe there's a bus system or a subway system, you know, that type of light rail type of thing where you can get back and forth to work. So you don't need a car. We have a friend who actually, he lives in Singapore. They have an unbelievable transportation system, subways and buses and stuff like that. And he was driving down the interstate one day and his car caught fire and burned up. He got out of it. Nobody was hurt. And he looked at it and said, I'm done with cars. And he hasn't had a car since, and it's saving him approximately $20,000 a year, not having a car.
$20,000?
Yeah.
Because of the fees in Singapore?
Yeah, fees and costs of insurance,
fuel,
and parking. And
the gas over there is very expensive.
Yeah.
Well, what's an average car payment per month?
I think the average new car payment is about $500, and probably a used car is, you know, if you're buying a fairly new used car, 3 years, 4 years old, it's going to cost you between $200 and $350 bucks, something like that. Depends on how much you put down.
So if you're doing like a $1,000 repair, that's not that many car payments. I mean, you're better off doing the $1,000 repair and paying for the repair than getting a different car and having those ongoing monthly payments.
It depends on how many $1,200 car repairs you have to make.
But doesn't it depend on whether your car is like totally worn out with 200,000 miles on it, or if it's just a pain to get it repaired and you think it might be nearing the end of its life?
Well, and I'm not even sure what the right number is for being totally worn out. We have a son who drove a truck for 330 or 40,000 miles, and he sold it and still got $4,000 for it.
But, you know, so many times we get tempted into buying a car because of those low-cost financing deals, right? You only have to put down this much. Your payments are only this much. What they don't tell you is those payments go on forever.
Yes, yeah. One of the things that you should be doing, especially today, if you've got one of those cars that's older and it's paid off, and so you really aren't interested in going out and buying a new one because you don't want car payments. But the thing you should be doing is paying yourself. You know, figure out how much it would cost you to replace the car you got if you had an older car, you know, you bought a used car, and start paying yourself that amount of money. Or if, you know, you're just going to have new cars and that's the only way it's going to be, then pay yourself $500 a month. First of all, it'll give you a good clue as to whether or not you can afford to pay $500 a month. But secondly, it'll give you money fairly quickly to help make a down payment on that car and reduce the amount of payment.
But what should you do if you have to get, I mean, is getting a loan from a car dealer a good idea? Or would you be better off looking at a bank loan or a credit union loan if you have to get a loan for a car?
It depends on what kind of deal that the dealerships are offering. I see on TV, there's like 0.1% or 0.9% or some of them are 0% for a new car. Used car loans are typically around 3 or 4%, 5% maybe, depending.
See, I thought you always got a better deal at a bank or a credit union rather than a car dealer.
Sometimes, but not always. We've experimented with that in the past when we bought cars, and you know, we'd go to the credit union first to see what the rate was there. Because we needed to offset some of the cost of the car, and we'd get a rate, and then we'd go to the dealership and listen to them in their spiel. And there's times when we actually used the dealer's rate because it was better than what we could get at the credit union. And there isn't any credit union around or bank that's going to give you a 0% loan.
Oh, that's true.
You know, the dealership will do that, but the credit unions won't.
Well, what about selling the used car? Would it be better off to sell it yourself or to trade it in on a newer model at a dealership?
You know, if you go to KellyBlueBook.com or Edmund.com, they will tell you selling it privately, you will earn more money. It's not a ton. It's not like thousands and thousands, but it can be anywhere, depending on the age of the car and the condition, $1,500 to maybe $3,000 difference.
That's a lot of difference.
Yeah. But yeah, just go to those websites and you can plug in your car and it will ask you a series of questions about your car and it will give you what the trade-in value is, the retail value, and what if you sold it privately.
We did that when we got, it's been several years now since we traded in Evelyn's car. We didn't trade it in. We bought a used car that was about 5 years old or 4 years old or something like that and had low mileage. And so we kept her car because we tried the dealership and we even tried the dealerships that will buy your used car kind of a thing. And they gave us a price, and we went to Kelley Blue Book and that kind of stuff. And it said, this price is the best price you could get. So that's what we put it on the market for. And within a week or 10 days, we got that best price, which is almost twice what the dealership was.
It's just some people don't want to deal with it. They rather just trade it in, give me what you think it's worth, and so be it.
Yep.
So if your car, so you should really keep your car until it's paid off. Once you, if you buy something and you have to make payments on it, you should keep it until it's paid off.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then keep paying yourself. That's the only way to do it. You think about it this way. The average cost of a new car is about $36,000. That's the average price. That's really high. Okay. You only have to.
We didn't pay that much for our first house, did we?
No, we didn't. We didn't. You only have to buy five cars at that price to equal the cost of a $200,000 house. Now, how often are you going to buy a new car at $36,000 a piece? You know, I think it's probably going to be more often than you're going to buy a house. So that's entirely
possible.
That's
a lot of money.
Yeah. 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 So even if you've taken good care of your car, there are some times when high-priced repairs are unavoidable. Sometimes it's due to excessive wear or time itself. You know, things like rubber belts and hoses dry out and crack, and the metal on the rotors can warp or it can wear too thin. And, you know, sometimes electrical parts, they just stop working.
So when that happens, you're just going to have to suck it up and pay for the repairs, right?
That's the idea, yeah.
So what about those? What's a really outrageous? It seems like we had to get a timing belt changed on one of the cars, and that was a horrendously expensive. And then they wanted to do all kinds of other things when they did the timing belt.
Well, once you hit about 100,000 miles, and depending on the car itself and the way it's put together, sometimes the timing belts do need to be replaced, especially if they're a rubber belt and not a metal chain. And so around 100,000 miles, I think, Steve, don't you? That's a pretty reasonable time. That's
what most of the factories now do, 100,000 to 105,000 miles.
Yeah. And there's some other things that are just routine maintenance things, but they cost money.
But you should really get that routine maintenance done on a regular basis, because that's a good way to take care of the car, right?
That is a good way to take care of a car. And the other thing is that when you're buying a car, check it out on Consumer Reports or Kelley Blue Book or any of these and find out what the repair history is for the cars, because some cars have a terrible repair history, and, you know, it's better to not buy one of those cars if you're thinking about keeping it forever.
Yes, checking the repair cost of a car prior to making the purchase would be an excellent plan. And those resources where you can find that information would be Consumer Report or ConsumerReport.com. Also, KelleyBlueBook.com or Edmund.com, another great resource, and good luck. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Today, John and Evelyn are discussing whether you keep your old car or replace it. So, Evelyn, I'm going to ask you for your opinion. Do you repair the old car or go ahead and replace it?
It seems to me that you're always better off repairing your car than buying a new car, I'd say 90% of the time. Is that a right statement or not?
I think it's typically less expensive to repair a car than to buy a new car. You know, at least the least expensive car is usually the one that you're driving. So If a new car loses 22% of its value in the first year, the car that you're driving has already done that.
So it's already depreciated.
It's already depreciated. And probably it's not just a year old. It's probably 4 or 5 or 6 years old. So it's not lost 22%. It's probably lost 65% or something like that.
So what is the most expensive repair that would be done on a car? Like, would you have to replace the motor?
Could be. If you don't change the oil or keep enough oil in the motor, you're going to have issues.
Or if you don't take care of the transmission, you know, it needs to be flushed every so often according to the manufacturer's specifications. Or if you're driving a stick shift and you don't know how to drive with a clutch.
You that know, would not be good.
And you live in San Francisco. And
I think the frustration happens when you have an older car and you find that you need a major repair that could cost you $800,000. You get frustrated and you start thinking, if I had a newer car, I wouldn't be paying this. But it's something you said earlier, Evelyn. If you stopped and thought about, I'd rather pay the $1,000 than the next 5 years or 3 years or whatever paying $350 a month for a car payment. You just have to step back, let the frustration and the emotion go away.
Well, and your insurance is going to be higher on a newer car.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you also have to pay all the like dealer fees and you know, taxes and tax tag and title and all that stuff, which isn't that much, but it's still more money than you need to spend if you keep the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things, that if you live in a southern state, like we're living in Florida, probably the worst thing that can go wrong with your car is have the air conditioning fail. And we've done that. And when, you know, on some cars, Evelyn had a car, it cost us about $2,300 to get the air conditioning.
I had a car where the air conditioning broke, and I didn't want to admit it to Audrey that the air conditioner broke, because I didn't want to come in and say, you know, we're going to have to pay like $2,000 for AC. I just kept the windows rolled up when I moved in, when I parked in the house. But she would say stuff like, why are you sweating?
How often did she ride in the car with you?
No, it was a car I used for work. But after a couple of months, we saved up enough to get it fixed.
Yeah, in July in Florida, I'm sure you were ready to get the air conditioning or a new car.
But, you know, if you've got a really major, major repair, there's a reasonable possibility that you could buy a pretty good used car for the same amount as a repair. When you're doing that, you have to keep in mind that that used car could come with its own set of problems. And when we buy a used car, and we do that not often, but we have bought two or three used cars over the last 15 years, we've purchased cars that are dealer certified. And typically, a dealer certified used car actually has a better warranty on it than a new car does. That has played out quite nicely for us in a couple of occasions.
What about emotional attachments to cars? You two are men. Do you have emotional attachments to any of your vehicles?
I did. To this day, I wish I still had it. No, it just was a special car. I enjoyed driving it, and I made a foolish mistake and traded it in because a guy offered me money that the car was worth 15 years earlier.
Oh.
And stupid me said, sounds like a deal to me.
Sounds like you did the right thing.
No. I would love to have it back.
That's one of your regrets, huh?
Yeah.
What about you, John?
No, I've never really felt that way. I've never had a car that I liked that much. That, I would definitely, if I had unlimited money supply and wasn't worried about where I was going to park it and that kind of stuff, that I would possibly own a different car than I own now. But I don't fall in love with the car like that.
Well, the important thing is to remember it's transportation. It's not a lifestyle. It's not how important you are. It's not how significant you are. It's just a way to get from point A to point B. Steve, you're making faces at me.
Audrey told you to say that, didn't she?
Well, she could have paid me a small fee for saying that, but...
No, I agree with you. I mean, I look at cars now, just transportation. I just had a love affair with the other one.
And we're so sorry it's over.
So what about arguments for buying a new car? You know, you've reached the point where you're swearing that I'm not going to put another penny into this old car since that last repair. Something happens now, I'm getting rid of it.
Well, and I think you do reach that point.
I agree with
and
that.
And I'm not sure that's a bad thing to do if you don't want to keep worrying about breakdowns, or if, like, I know in the case of our grandson, the car he was driving, Dad had to come rescue him in the middle of the night because he got stuck at his girlfriend's house at like midnight or something. And
that was his excuse anyway.
If the car's not working and you've got a teenager in it, you definitely want them to have something more reliable.
Oh, absolutely. And he actually had an accident. I think if he'd been driving a normal car, nobody got hurt, and it was a very minor fender bender kind of thing. But if he'd had a reasonable car with reasonable brakes instead of what he was driving, he wouldn't even hit the car that stopped quickly in front of him. So
a lot of that decision on when to get rid of that old car is reliability and safety.
Well, and plus if you got to get back and forth to work or things like that, then, you know, if it's stopping you from earning a living, then, you know, it's time to think about doing something different.
I started just tracking what it would cost us and how frequent the repairs were coming. That's what made our decision whether to get another car.
I guess one of the important things after the safety of the trading in your car and getting a different one is the budget. I mean, you really need to understand what you can afford to buy. It's not, I want to get rid of this so I can get a nice ride and buy this fancy new car. I still need safe, reliable transportation. So what can I do to get that? So take a look at your budget and make an honest assessment of your financial situation. And like Steve said, go to a website like Kelley Blue Book or Edmunds.com and look at what the math is as far as what you can trade in and what you can buy a newer car for.
You know, another set of logic that you can apply to buying a new car. Some of the used cars have this stuff now because it's been out for a couple of years, but most of them don't have everything. But, you know, the safety equipment that they're putting on cars today, like automatic emergency braking and blind spot monitoring and lane assist keeper or something like whatever they call it, and backup cameras and all those kinds of things that they've got on these brand new vehicles, I think they are definitely a safety. They provide a safety function to the car that most used cars are not going to have. And that can be a valuable thing. You never know when somebody's going to stop short in front of you or that type of thing. And you know, so it's good to have that kind of stuff.
So are there some deciding factors that you would consider to sway you in replacing your car and getting a new one?
Well, I think, like Steve mentioned, if the repairs are becoming more frequent, the costs are hard to keep up with, if the car's leaving you stranded often or putting you in a potentially dangerous situation or making you late for work. I mean, I can't tell you, there's been probably a half a dozen accidents just in our metropolitan area in the last 6 months where a car breaks down, people are out of the car, and then they get hit by another car.
You know, that's very dangerous.
Whether the car hits the car or hits the people, it's never a good situation when that kind of thing happens. And if that's happening to you, then that could be reason enough to be looking for a new car. You know, what you're spending in repair costs, you know, if there's a repair that's due and it's more than 50% of the value of your car, time to get a new car, a newer car, a different car. And, you know, if you've got a good mechanic, that's a huge thing to be able to help you understand the condition of your car.
The cars are getting so much technology in them now. Is a regular old mechanic able to even decipher that anymore without all the fancy equipment?
With all of electronics that they're putting on the cars now, the ability to decipher the error codes and stuff like that by plugging in another piece of electronics is getting much easier. So it's a little bit easier, I think, to tell exactly what's going wrong with the car. At least a mechanic who knows what they're doing can do that.
You know, that's a good point, John, because the local auto national chain, you can go there and they will plug that in for you.
So just going in and making the noises my car makes is probably not appropriate.
No, but going to the auto parts store and ask if they have one of these gadgets, and it just plugs it into your car and it reads what the error codes are.
Yeah, so it's hard to put a price tag on peace of mind that a new vehicle can bring. And so as you decide to purchase a new car or keep the older car, consider all the total costs that are involved and be sure to analyze your budget and seek counsel so you will make a wise decision and be a good steward.
And being a good steward is what God wants us to be. In fact, in our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, one of the very first points we make is to acknowledge that God owns everything. And that includes the car, the van, the truck, and we are to be good stewards. Take care of all that God has provided for us. Now, if you'd like to share this program with someone that may be considering buying or just repairing the existing car, let them know that the show is available for them at compasscatholic.org. Just scroll down on the homepage and click on the button that says podcast. And before we leave you today, let's answer a few emails that we received this week. John and Evelyn, I just got a copy of my credit report and saw a debt that I do not recognize at all. What should I do?
Well, the first thing to do is to contact the credit reporting agency that has the incorrect debt, in your opinion, and mail them a letter of dispute. And when they receive that letter of dispute, they need to investigate. And they've got 30 days to respond to you, or they have to delete it from your credit report.
Now, when you send a letter, make sure you look at the credit reporting agency's website to get the exact format for the letter. And then when you mail it via registered with a return receipt required so that you will have proof of sending it. You know, if there's any phone calls about the issue, keep track of the date, the time, the person that you talked to, along with a summary of the conversation.
Okay, John and Evelyn, here's another question. In fact, we have received over the last number of years a question kind of similar to this. This one is worded, my brother is investing in something I would consider a get-rich-quick scheme. He is Christian. What advice would you recommend I give him?
You know, it's hard to watch somebody make a mistake or, you know, watch a train wreck start to occur. So it's really important for you to understand exactly what your brother's doing. I think that what he's saying may not be quite exactly what you're doing, so you need to understand it. And then I think the best way to ask people to rethink something that you think may be a mistake is, instead of peppering them with objections, just ask questions. Things like, well, instead of saying, I don't think your money's going to be safe, I think you're going to lose your money, ask, well, what's the risk of you being successful or you losing money in this endeavor?
Yeah, I absolutely agree that if you just start peppering the person with objections, it's going to cause problems. What you really want to do is get them to think about things that maybe they haven't thought about, or at least the same things that you're thinking about, so that you can actually address the issues. Is this going to be a safe investment? What happens if the market turns down? What's going to happen to your investment? If the market turns down and the investment goes down, what's that going to do to your overall ability to continue to live the lifestyle that you currently have? Or, you know, those types of questions are the kinds of questions that will help.
Yeah, I think anytime you try to object to what somebody's doing, they just kind of stick their feet in the mud and decide not to move forward, and you just make them more adamant about doing it if you're very vocal about your objection to them doing it.
Yeah.
So it's best to come at it from, use a soft stick, not a large stick.
And the last one we have time for, John and Evelyn, can you please help me out with a scripture reference? Where in the Bible does it say the borrower is slave to the lender?
I'm glad you asked, Steve, because that's one of my favorite scripture verses that kind of puts into a capsule what we're all about as far as Compass Catholic Ministries. That verse is from Proverbs 22:7, John, and it reads...
Well, I don't have the whole verse in front of me right now, but it does say that the borrower is slave to the lender. Everybody knows how much in this country, pretty much worldwide, I think, that we hate slavery. The Lord wants us to be free of debt, and that's one of the reasons we often talk about it and why we want you to become debt-free.
Because we don't want you to be the slave of the lender.
No one wants to be slave to the lender. Now, if you have a financial challenge and you would love help from John and Evelyn, some advice, by all means, send as many questions as you'd like. The email address is ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. And if you'd like to share this program or any of our podcasts, simply go to compasscatholic.org. Click on podcast. You'll find not only today's show, but an archive of all the shows that we've done. And speaking of podcasts, we post a brand new one each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. Click on that same little button that says podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.